so awesome. I actually don't want us to come out of that space, so I'm not going to go into saying much, but actually, let's just stay focused. Let's stay engaged. There's one reason we're gathered. One reason. One main reason. Who knows the reason? That reason has a name. What's the name? Can we say that name? Can we say it again? Jesus. One more time. 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 Again. Jesus. 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 It's just amazing. We could do that for the next 30 minutes and only say his name and lift up his name and, you know, consider him and just be so focused on him and be obsessed with him and just, do you understand? Just taking it in, taking him in, embracing him. Because the only thing, the only reason, however we want to put it, you know, whatever reason we can give, there's usually just one word that's the best to articulate it, and that's a name, Jesus. For the good, Jesus. For the grace in the bad, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we just exalt you. We honor you. We are grateful for you. We are grateful that it's because of you that we are one. The diversity in the room, and yet we are one. We are related here by blood. I may not look like you, you may not look like me, but we are related by blood. A blood that is deeper than the one that runs through our veins. The blood of Jesus. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for this privilege. Thank you for oneness with you. In your holy name, I pray. Amen. Let's pray a few more times. This time I'm not going to lead you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It really is not more complicated than that. Because out of that flows everything else. Like I said, we could do that for the next hour, just call his name. And I can tell you that without anyone laying hands on you or anything, you will encounter Jesus yourself. Because the more your eyes are focused on him, the more your heart is connected with his, the more he becomes clearer to you. You gain sight, you gain understanding, you gain clarity. You start to receive the very thing you need. The situation may not change, but yet you'll feel strong. The situation that may be challenging you may not change, but then joy will rise up, hope will rise up. Why? Because of the one who is Jesus. Whilst preparing, or trying to prepare, I said trying to prepare because I usually try, but I'm thinking I'm not allowed to have notes and everything. Every time I try, for the past 10 years, the Lord wouldn't give me notes. So I have my own, you know, they're not cheat sheets, but, you know, sometimes I just put down a few things that I think, okay, a few scriptures that I feel I might go to. And it wasn't until I got here that he starts to tell me, what? So he does that with me. He's like, go and I'll speak. And I'm like, just give me something. Just go. So my being here is like, oh, Lord. And all he said was, just call my name. Just start by calling my name. Get everyone to call my name. Get everyone to lift me up. Get everyone to engage with me. Get everyone to connect with me. Who is he to you? Who is he to you? Because we can call on the name Jesus. Some of us are saying it and then we see the picture we grew up seeing in books. Some of us say the name Jesus and you think, oh, baby in a manger. Some of us say the name Jesus and we think of heaven. Some of us say the name Jesus, we think of loved ones in heaven. You say the name Jesus, you think of healing. You say the name Jesus, you think of breakthrough, you think of hope. Hope, just hope. Who is he to you now? Who has he been to you? We had testimonies that was testifying of who Jesus was to you in that moment. Who is he to you now? Who is he to you here and now in this moment when you're thinking about him and you think about his name? There's a verse in the Bible in Isaiah chapter 43 verse 19. I'm just going to read it out. I'll read it from the Amplified Bible. And I feel like this is a word for all of us. Listen carefully. I am about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Listen carefully. I am about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Listen carefully. I am about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? Will you not be aware of it because we can miss it? God could be doing something new and we miss it. And I really do feel the Lord is calling our attention to him in the moment, to learn to live with him moment by moment. For some of us, the successes we've had, or the encounters we've had, or the revelation we had to do with the Lord, we're still, you know, holding on to what happened 50 years ago, and we should, or 30 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 2 weeks ago, and we should, you know, be grateful for that and hold on and take the good, but we're not supposed to be stuck there because he's saying, behold, I do a new thing. And so, Father, here and now, what are you doing? In this place in my life, there's some people sitting in this room who feel stuck, who can relate to what I'm saying, who feel stuck. It's not a bad situation, it's a good situation, but there should be more than this. And that in itself should describe what I'm talking about. It's a great situation, but I know there's more than this. I know that something should be moving, but I'm kind of stuck in 10 years ago and the awesomeness of 10 years ago. Sometimes we miss the moments of change. We miss when God is doing something new. I actually just feel we should pause and just for maybe 30 seconds, each person just speak to the Lord about that. Lord, where am I? If we can just locate ourselves. You know how your GPS helps you do that. So let's turn that on inside. And let's allow Holy Spirit to help us locate ourselves. Where am I? Because for someone here, you might be stuck somewhere and you're not really present. You're not in the here and now. Where am I? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Please hold on to that thought. Write it down if you have to. Hold on to it, because before you can go anywhere, I mean, in this day and time, every single one of us knows how it works. You have to put your starting point. If you don't have the address, you turn on your GPS to help you locate where you are to be able to go anywhere. And that's why I'm saying, for some of us, I really do feel like the Lord is saying, you're still somewhere else. You know, you've got the wrong starting point. It happened to me a few days ago. Opened the Uber app. Somehow ended up putting the wrong start pickup address. I'm in Chafford 100, Essex, and the Uber driver is like, I'm here. Where are you? I can't see you. I'm in Stratford. I'm not in Stratford. I wanted a ride. My ride was at the wrong pickup point. Does that make sense? Except I could be located, help was not going to come. And so I had to start over and put the right point. And for some of us here, the starting point for today, the starting point for what it is we're going to receive from God is starting in honesty and in truth. Where am I? And it's okay to say, Lord, I am feeling very frustrated. That's where I'm at right now. Lord, I'm needing a bit more. That's where I am right now. Lord, everything is great. I've actually just realized how amazing everything is. I thought it was really bad, but now that you've helped me locate myself, I'm not where I thought I was. Is this making sense? Is this helping? Because when you locate yourself, when God gives you, even if it's just a burst of refreshing, you know, or he gives you the revelation you've been praying for, you will use it and apply it properly. You will use it correctly. You'll be able to see what is available to you when you know where you are. And it starts with truth. We have to start with truth. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We have to start with truth. In Luke chapter 5, this is coming to mind, Luke chapter 5, when Jesus told Peter to cast his net one more time. The one thing I know the Lord laid on my heart when I was coming was, look again, were the two words. And I had this, and yeah, he usually has me buy some stuff so I can remember. And I just walked into the shop and just bought a pair of glasses, you know. And he's saying, look again. Look again. You're thinking, okay, but I've already, Father, we've been here before. Look again. I'm doing a new thing. But Lord, nothing new can come out of this. Look again. I'm doing a new thing. I mean, Peter was saying in those verses that he had already tried fishing, hadn't caught anything. This is about the time of day we wind things up, you know, pack everything up and go home. But Jesus said, try again. What was going to be different this time? He only had to have faith. Why could he have faith? I'm going to do it backwards. Why could he have faith to say, okay, at your word, I will. We'll find why he could have faith. It's because I'll start from verse 3. This is Jesus. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put it out a little distance from the shore. He sat down and began teaching the crowd from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch. Verse 3 is the reason why he could trust him. Jesus had just taken time teaching, sharing his heart. People could receive from him. You know, Peter could receive the instruction simply because he had just listened to the words of Jesus. He had just listened to the very heart of Jesus. He had just taken time to teach the people, to share, to say, before he said to him, put out your net again. He could tell that they were already packing things up, but he said, try again. Why could Peter try again? Because he heard. He listened to the words of Jesus. He listened to the words of Jesus. He listened to the voice of Jesus. He listened to what Jesus had to say. And for anyone in here, why would you try again? Why would you forgive that person and give them a second chance? Why would you not give up on that thing you've been trying so hard to accomplish? Because you're going to take time and listen to the voice of the one who knows you, the one who loves you, the one who created you, the one who already wrote your, you know, he wrote about you beautiful things. That one, you take some time and listen to him. Not listening to life, because life happens. Not listening to just what is said on the news or what, you know, this person said or what that person said. Because even if it's true and even if it's good, it's not the fullness of truth. And it's not the fullness of what is good. And so you go to the one who is complete in truth. You go to the one who is complete in goodness. He is actually goodness. Do you understand? He is actually good. We can do good. He is good. And because he is good, whatever he speaks, whatever he says is good. Does that make sense? So we spend time with him. Because a lot of times, I know that when I remember about, you know, cast your net again, I usually forget this part. Because it just seems like, you know, something Jesus did. He sat in the boat, he taught, and then he said to Peter. I mean, he sat in Peter's boat and taught. Maybe he knew that was the way to get Peter to listen by using his boat. So it kind of had to be there. I don't know. And then said to him, Peter, try again. The Lord is, I mean, he loves each and every one of us so personally that he's willing to do what he did with Peter. Oh, by the way, he already knew that this is the same person he was going to say, start the church. Do you understand? I'm handing over to you. And this was how he introduced himself. As in calling him forth. He sat in his boat. Jesus does the same for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter how young. He comes and he sits in your boat. And gets into your business. Your boat is your life. And so sometimes when he comes and sits in, you might get uncomfortable. Because if something is not right in there. He doesn't have to say anything. His very presence, because of how holy it is, if there is anything unholy going on, you will feel uncomfortable. You will actually start to make changes. I'm trying to imagine if the boat was messy and Jesus was like, Peter, I'd like to sit in that one. I can't imagine that they would have started to shuffle things around, you know, clean things, clear things, kick some things under some parts and cover it like, okay, it's ready, it's nice and, you know, Rabbi, you can sit and teach. Jesus wants to step into your boat today. He wants to step in. He wants to give us the reason why we can try again. It's never too late to try again. Never too late. So he said, let's look again. And you might say, I saw that before. I've known that before. I've heard that before. Lord, you've said this before. We've tried it before. But he's saying, try again. But before you do this time, come sit with me. Listen. Let me fill your heart with the courage you need. Because his words are spirit and life. He's not just speaking words that fill up your mind and you have knowledge. He speaks words that go right into you and bring you to life. And so we're going to take a moment to pray, to invite him in. Sorry, I cannot quote exactly where the scripture is, but I promise you it's in the Bible. Somewhere in Revelations where it says, Jesus' message to the church was about him saying, I stand at the door and I knock. Thank you. I'm going to trust you like you're trusting me. He said, I stand at the door and knock. Why would he be telling the church? You know, a lot of times That scripture is used for evangelism. Jesus is standing at the door of your heart and knocking. But really, he was talking to the church. He was talking to his own. Meaning, he comes in, and he wants to come in, and he wants to continue to come in. It's like I can get in here, there are still doors. He wants to go as deep, as far. He wants to go to the most intimate parts of your heart, the most intimate parts of your life. And okay, but Lord, I thought last week you came in through that door and I let you in. And he's like, well, I've seen that door you've been hiding. The door that has all those things, the places you don't want me to go. I'm knocking. Would you let me in? Would you let me in? Why? Because the very thing, the very answers you need, he is. Please hear me. I didn't say he has it. He is it. He is it. He is the hope that we need. He actually is the provision we need. You might think, okay, how is Jesus? Okay, I need money. How is Jesus, you know, how is Jesus going to, how is he money? How is he? He gave us power to make wealth. So imagine the very one who is God, who is absolutely everything, coming in. We are unlimited in what we have. We are unlimited in the access we have to him. Will we let him in? Are we willing to look again? Are we willing to go back? Are we willing to try one more time? For someone here, it might be like, this is the last chance. This is the last opportunity I have, Lord. I've tried. I gave up. I'm not doing this again. Sometimes the case of, Lord, it's too painful. I can't do it. And he's saying, try again. Try again. Try again. He said, he promised. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And whether we are, you know, in the best place with him or the most challenging place, or sometimes we're not even with him at all, he is with us. Does that make sense? He's actually present. He's with us. There is no way we can keep him out. When I say that, I mean you can't hide from God that he doesn't know where you are. He can't find you and he's looking for you. He's not searching for any of us. Oh my goodness, where is Keith? Oh, Angel, Michael, have you seen him? No, Gabriel, you know, everyone, heaven, rather let. No, he sees each and every one of us every moment. And so he's saying, look again. Look again. What can affect our sight? But Lord, the last time I looked, I did not see. Here are a few reasons why we may not be able to see. The condition of our heart. The condition of our heart. I can say no. Depending on what the condition of your heart is, what you heard me say was no. Do you understand? I could, yeah. What word is that? Aha, you see? Someone else said it a different way. I didn't want to say it out so that, you know, you say it yourself. But some of us see this word and it means work. Maybe for some of the younger people, it'll be like, mom or dad says, help. You're thinking, yep, that means work. Come do some work. But someone else, help. This word means an opportunity. Does that make sense? This. Would mean something to someone else with a different state of heart. New can mean scary for someone, depending on where your heart is. Does that make sense? So when I'm talking about locating yourself, the state of your heart translates what you see. The state of your heart translates what you hear. We'll try this one. Whoops. Okay. Yeah. So can you tell me, when you said ball, what kind of ball did you see? Yeah, but what type? Did you see a particular type? So like a football? Anyone else thought of any other kind of ball? Tennis ball. Do you understand? But the word was ball. Our minds would easily go different places. What you've experienced in life usually would inform how your heart translates what you see. Some people might, if you see fire, if you hear the word fire, if you see fire, for someone it might be terrifying if you've been in a fire before, a house fire. Whilst we need fire to cook. Do you understand? We need fire for warmth, to warm ourselves up. Whilst for someone else, you see fire, you see destruction. That's all it is. So the Lord is checking the state of your heart, because for you to receive the new, it all starts in here. The same thing, the same word, the same thing that is good, if this isn't right, if this is not in the place it should be, God may be answering that prayer you've been crying out for, screaming out for. But you will not be able to receive it. Why? Because of the state of your heart.